Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my broadcast show, Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Just want to say that I am praying for you, amen, that God will continuously bring you into the maturity and bring you into the fullness, amen, of his calling and his purpose and destiny on and in your life. Just want to go into the announcements very quickly and then immediately following prayer and after that right into this word on tonight. Amen and amen again. Real quick, this evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m. join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m. join me for Prophetic Atmosphere live at www.ctkr.org. And any of you have been following us for quite some time, you do know that that is our website page, amen. We ask that you would just take some time to learn more about us and just help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. For any of you that would like information about us, would like us to, myself or Apostle McQueen, the minister at any one of your programs, or you just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, as you're on our webpage, please go to the tab that says Contact Us, click on that page, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen? Amen. Also want to let you know that we have a Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. Find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We would love to hear from you. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Put up a praise report as well. We want to know also how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. For any of you who do miss any of our episodes, you can always go back to our website, www.ctkr.org, back into our archives and listen to any of those messages or any one of our series, amen, messages that we have been going over so that you don't miss anything that God has for you. Amen. Those are the announcements for this evening. Amen. Now let us go before God and let us go in prayer and then let us get into the word on tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We bless your name. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are El Shaddai. You are El Ohim. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last of our lives, God. We bless you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this second. Father, we just bless you. We lift our name, your name up amen, in this place. Wherever we may be, God, we just lift your name up. You said, if I will be lifted up, that I will draw all men unto me. Father, we want to be a beacon of light, a beacon of truth unto your people in this dying world. In Jesus' name. Father, we just want to just raise your name up. We just want to worship your holy name. You are the mighty one. You are the miraculous one. You are the glorious one. You are the one that we give all praise, honor, and glory to. Father, we, your people, come now to the throne of grace. First of all, we bow our heads before you, God, in reverence. Second of all, God, we ask for forgiveness right now of every sin that we have submitted unto you. Father, we ask that you would just cleanse us in the precious blood of Jesus. Wash our hearts, wash our minds, wash our consciousness in the blood of Jesus right now. God, wash our languages, wash our dreams, our visions. Make them pure and holy unto you in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask that you would begin to put in us a spirit of obedience. Father, we ask right now that you would give your people a true vision of the kingdom of God. Father, we ask right now that you would just begin to stir our hearts, turn our minds back to you, stir our hearts back to you. Give us a hunger for righteousness. Give us a hunger for truth. Give us a hunger that seeks after you. As a deer passes by the water, so does our soul longing after thee. God, put a longing down in our bellies for you, Father. In Jesus' name, God, turn our hearts, our minds, our faces back to you, God. We need to be obedient to your will and your way and your word. God, right now, put a yes down in somebody's soul on tonight. Put a yes in somebody's heart, God, that no matter what they go through, no matter what the situation is, no matter where they stand right now, they still have a yes. A yes that will say, I will go all the way. A yes all the way to the end of the cross. A yes, God. A yes down on the inside of us that your will, your way, and your purpose shall be completed within us. Let this mind be in us, which was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. Restore us, God. Restore us. Restore us. Restore us. Restore us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, as I begin to minister this word, none of me, all of you tonight, let no opinion, let no personal perception take over tonight. Let us just begin to speak. Speak forth the oracle. Speak forth revelation. Speak forth knowledge on tonight. Give me the wisdom to speak the right words to say to your people. Prick their hearts tonight in Jesus' name. God, we ask now that even as your people begin to hear this word, Father, that you will begin to prick their hearts and that they will begin to cry out after you. What must I do, God? That they will begin to seek after pleasing you and you alone in Jesus' name. God, we glorify, we thank you. We worship your holy name. We glorify you, God. We thank you. You are mighty. You are wonderful. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen again. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, man of God, woman of God, child of the Most High King, just give God some praise. Just say hallelujah. Thank you. Wherever you may be, in your car, or still sitting at your desk on your job, whether you are in the parking lot, whether you are in your garage, just begin to just say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you haven't said anything all day long. But right now, you just need to have a pause break, a worship break. And you just need to give the Master, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords some praise, some worship, some glory, some thank you, some hallelujah. You're worthy, God, the King of Kings. Some of us need to just put our hands together. Maybe you might be somewhere where you can't open up your mouth right now, but you just need to lift up your hands in the cubicle. Amen? You just, if you're standing in line, you just need to lift up your hands. Sometimes you just need to wave them in the air. You just need to put, just clap them. You need to give your God some type of praise. Uh-huh. He's worthy of it. He's worthy. He's worthy of it. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Tonight's message, I want to talk about the cost, the true cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. I'm going to say that one more time. The true cost of discipleship. I'm saying that over and over because we really, many of us really, really need to fully understand that being saved, living this life is nothing to take for granted. It's nothing to take for granted. God has chosen you and I. I know we hear it all the time. We've been hearing it for years and years, many years. This is your time. This is your season. But I'm not here to talk about that tonight. What I want to talk about is the cost of your time and your season, the cost of your purpose in Him, the reason why He chose you before the foundations of the world, the reason why He chose you or predestined you before time, and why you were specifically born at this time, that He is, for many of us, raising us up in this hour and this moment, amen, to be His spokesperson in the earth, to call forth and bring people to the kingdom of God, or bring people back to Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to come out of, I know I said the book of Luke, but I think I want to take this to the book of Matthew instead tonight. I'm going with Matthew 8, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And we will go from there as the Lord deems fit. Amen. Reading out of the New King James Version, and the word be to such. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Verse 21, then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now when he got into the boat, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are perishing." Interesting. "Lord, save us. We are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And the word of the Lord is blessed. Amen. Now, what I was talking about when I first opened up this passage, I said we're talking about the demands or the cost of discipleship. One thing that we must get down in our spirits, in our hearts, and bring to the forefront from out of our subconscious into our consciousness is that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you are no longer your own, but you are brought with a price. That means, as Jesus said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. That means that we must seek, strive, push, desire, sometimes demand daily that we come in alignment, seek to come into agreement with his will and his purpose for our very existence. I know that's hard because you've been thinking all these years it's been about you and that you got saved on your own, that you came to Jesus Christ on your own, and that after you came to him, you still had a plan set to continue down the pathway of what you've been wanting to do. But let me tell you, son, daughter, your will is no longer your will. Your desires can no longer be about your desires. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, prophetess, because I have this plan of what I wanted to do, and so far I have accomplished everything that I've been wanting to do, and I have let nothing stand in my way. Okay. And really, when you look back, what have you truly sacrificed while you have been letting nothing stand in your way? Have you sacrificed church fellowship? Have you sacrificed your time in prayer? Have you sacrificed putting the plate down? Have you sacrificed relationships? Have you sacrificed him calling you and saying, I need to sup with you. I need you to spend some time with me. Have you sacrificed your obedience to the will of the master for going down your own pathway and making sure that you get to where you wanted to go? Now, for some, he has put in them to do a certain thing, and they have not deviated from that plan because God has always been first. And with him always being first, he made sure, amen, that they had accomplished his will and his purpose for their lives. But for many of us, children of the Most High King, we sacrifice God in place of everything else. We put everything else in his or before him, and then we try to squeeze him in the middle of our schedules just to, like, give him a token to say, well, Lord, I did come in here and pray. I gave you 5 minutes of my time, or I gave you, I was kind to somebody. I gave you a little bit of my time, but he wants all of us, and we say, for many of us, we say, for God I live, and for God I die. But when it comes time to manifesting that truth, many of us are lacking in that place. Verse 18 in Matthew 8:18-22, when Jesus saw the multitudes about the hill, it says he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. So while the multitude were there, while the anointing that's bringing into today's standard, while we're at church and we have the big speakers going forth, we're all caught up in the music, we're all caught up in the praise dance, we're all caught up in the hallelujahs, we hear the word that goes forth, amen, we're screaming, we're hollering, we're jumping, we're crying, we're clapping our hands, we're rejoicing, and then we're saying, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. You know what we do. You know how we do, y'all. We'll do whatever, God. I say yes, yes, Yes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Ain't nobody get in my way. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go all the way with you to the end. And we say that. But then when God himself, or when Jesus begins to challenge us, he said here, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus, verse 20, said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, you have to remember, people of God, is that even when Jesus came into the earth, there was no room at the end for him. There was no place for him to lay his head. He had to be had to be located in a barn somewhere to lay his head. I say that to say this. For some of us, because of the anointing and the call that is on your life, no matter where you go, you can never just rest. You can never get comfortable. The Holy Ghost won't allow you to get comfortable because you have to always realize that the call on your life is greater than the four people in your church. The call on your life is greater than your family. The call that is up on your life is greater than the people that follow you at your job. The call up on your life is greater, greater. You always have to remember that whatever God has put on the inside of you is always speaking towards the nations. Now, I'm not saying he's going to send you directly to the nations. If that is his call on your life, then God bless as he prepares you to go forth. But one thing you have to understand, when I speak of nations on tonight, I'm talking about people. Wherever God places you, he's always allowing you to pour himself into other people. He's always allowing you, amen, to minister Jesus or to disciple others, to tell others about him so that his purpose, his hands, his feet, his will, his kingdom can be expanded. So that's why you can't get comfortable in just being recognized by your organization. There are people that are outside the organization, your organization, my organization, that will never step foot in a church. But you have to have enough love in your heart, enough God in you to say, it's not about the four walls. It's not about the people around me. It's not about if you're going to call me evangelist today or prophet this tomorrow or apostle next week. It's about this soul being ministered to. It's about me sharing Christ unto the other. It's about seeing that man or that woman saved from the pit of hell and watching them, if he allows you to, watching them begin to birth out the seed that Christ has put on the inside of them so that they too can fulfill their kingdom assignment and destiny. Ooh. So you can't get comfortable what's going on around you. You can't see our problem, people of God, our challenge, people of God, is that we want to, we like comfort. We like it safe. We like it soft. We don't want anything ruffled. You don't know. People say, you don't know what it took for me to get here. No, I don't know. But you know what? You don't know what it took for me to get here. So we could sit here back and forth sharing war stories all day long, or we could get to tearing the kingdom of Satan down. Which one do you want to do? And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another, verse 21, of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Now here we have another excuse that just popped up. I'll follow you, Lord, but let me take care of this situation first. See, too often, people of God, we want to do what God says to do, but when it becomes a little challenging or a little discomforting to us, then we want to make the excuses. I'll go, God, I'll go, but let me handle this first, and when I handle this, then I'll get back to you. Huh? Listen. He said, listen, all I need you to do is make up in your mind to follow me. We sing, some of us sing the song in the old church, like, I'll follow you all the way. But do you really mean all the way? Is there a, and I say this too as a little pun, but is there a all the way anointing in your life? or does somebody have to keep reminding you who you are in Christ? Does somebody have to keep reminding you that you can make it? Does somebody have to keep praying for you and speaking over your life? How many prophecies, amen, do we have to hear before we decide that no matter what, that this life is just going to be a life full of challenges, full of not just challenges, but there's going to be rewards as well. And I'm not talking about this just to say that God expects us to go through morning, noon, and night. I'm not saying that at all. But we do have to come to a full understanding, amen, that the enemy does not like you. The minute that you said, yes, God, I will answer whatever the call is that you have on my life, you just became an enemy of the enemy. Now, too often we look around us and we say, well, so-and-so is doing and living kind of any lifestyle, and God seems to be blessing them. Well, we look at this person, we say, well, evangelist, you know, seems to be living this kind of lifestyle, and God seems to be blessing her. So, wow, and how come that I can't live or say or do or happen to speak or respond any kind of way? Why? Because the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He also called us out and said, be ye separate amongst them. He has enough people that are in this body that are playing two faces or playing two roles, one saved and one unsaved. It's time for us as the body of Christ, those who are truly called, those who have been seeking God's face, those who have been living all that they know how, those who have been sacrificing, going through the challenges, letting the tears fall, but still giving him praise, getting talked about, but still got a shout in our feet, being ostracized, but still on our face praying, saying, no matter what, God, I still trust you. Those are the people that God wants in this day and this hour that I've always talked about, who are been in the background, who have been in Lodabar, who have been tossed in the corner, who have been forgotten, who have been looked over. You are the one man of God. You are the one woman of God. You are the one child of the Most High King that God is calling forth now. He's pulling on you. He's demanding you. That's why you can't live any kind of way. That's why you can't act any way you want to act. That's why every time you make an excuse, God says, so what? I still called you. It's your moment, your time to grow up spiritually and begin to what? Trust him, follow him, and anything that is around you that is dead, anything that is causing life to be seeped from you, spiritual life, you need to cut it off in the spirit, sever its head, and begin to follow Christ no matter what. A prophet is, you don't know. You don't know what it costs. Oh, I know what it costs. Each one of us have a story on tonight. My story may not be, but nevertheless, it's a story. And we have to get to the place where we quit trying to tell every, or compare or swap stories with people. Yeah, no, yeah, that was good, but you don't know, you didn't go through this. Well, child, I had my lights cut off. Okay, yeah, that's cool, yeah, but I had my lights and my water cut off. Oh, what, you had that? Well, you know what, I had my lights, my water cut off, and I was laying up in the sick bed. Listen, we don't have time to swap stories while the devil is taking people to hell on a daily basis. While we worried about trying to get one up on somebody, we don't have time for a one up. Whatever God has brought you through, amen, to you, you're still here. Whatever God has brought me through, amen, I'm still here. Now, what we need to do is touch and agree. If two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. We need to come together, touch and agree, seek after him, follow him, and start becoming his true disciples. I know this is not a popular message, but you know what? I had to settle in my heart and in my spirit a long time ago that what he has called me to do is not going to be popular. I had to settle in my spirit a long time ago that God has called me to call his people back to him. That means that my path is going to be lonely at times. That means that words he gives me to speak are not going to be popular. That means I'm not going to be on everybody's platform. But I got to know that in the end, as long as I'm on God's platform, when it's all said and done, that's all that matters. And the same thing with you, man and woman of God. Whatever God has called you to do, don't seek after the notoriety. Don't seek after the hand claps of praise, because the hand claps of praise will fade just as soon as somebody new comes along. Oh, Jesus. He said, follow me and let the dead, verse 22, bury the dead. What's dead in your life that you refuse to let go? What's been sucking the spiritual life out of you that you refuse to cut off and sever spiritually? What have you been trying to hold on with the hand saying, I follow you, Jesus, and hold on with the other hand the comforts of our friends and family, the comforts of some of us, our churches, the comfort of some of us, our organizations? And I'm talking about those who God has been dealing with to say, listen, I need you to come up higher. There's something on the inside that the Holy Spirit will put down on in you, amen, that will let you know that there is more and there's greater to what you have already achieved. If the Holy Spirit is not pulling at you to say there's more to me, and when I say me, I'm talking about him, it's more to me than what you are experiencing, and you're comfortable where you are and saying, Lord, this is all I need. I don't need nothing else. It's a sad day, and it's a sad moment, because our God is so vast that no matter what peak that you're on, you will still never be able to fully understand him. We will never be able to fully grasp him. We'll never be able to fully, even in our smartest state, we'll be able to understand the fullness, the depth of our God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be satisfied. If I'm looking around today, and I know you, some of you can touch and agree with me, we look around today at the body of Christ, and it's a very sad state. And I'm not here to tear the body down. I'm not here to talk about people and talk about who ain't saved and who is saved and all this and that. That's not what this show is about. That's not what this broadcast is about. My purpose is to tell you what the cost or the demand of walking with God, of walking with Christ. There are times that you're going to be alone. There are going to be times, amen, where you're going to have to stand alone. There's going to be times where you're going to have to war alone. There's going to be times, amen, when all you can do is just weep before the Lord. There's going to be times that all you can do is worship before the Lord. There's just going to be a time, and there'll be times where he will place you around people. But you have to understand that even as he places you with people, we can never get so comfortable that we cannot tell people the truth. And that is what some of the issues or the challenges are in the body, is that we get around people and we seek, like Saul, to be liked so much. We seek to be welcomed. We seek to be loved so much by people that we will sit there and we will allow things, we'll allow the enemy to come, we'll allow situations to arise and circumstances to arise, and we won't say a word because we don't want to be the oddball. But you know what? He can't use you like that. He can't use me like that. One thing I love about Jesus is that he was never fearful of his own creation. I know people say they don't have to heaven to put you in, or excuse me, heaven to kick you out of, or hell to put you in. But when I deal with people, amen, I try my best with prayer to deal with them through the Spirit of God. And here's one of the tests, people of God. How many of you have that the Lord has had you deal with people and you know verbatim they could not stand the very ground you walked on? but yet you still had to reach out to them. Yet you still had to help them. Yet the Lord still had you praying for them. Yet the Lord still had you giving them money. Yet the Lord still had you giving them a ride. Yet he still had you reaching for him. The cost of discipleship. And for many, they don't want to pay that price. They don't want to pay the price that it costs. My prayer has been lately, God put obedience in me, just like Jesus. He said he was obedient unto the death of the cross. Whatever the cross that God has given you to bear, I want to be obedient to my cross. You need to be obedient to your cross. You have to say yes until the flesh completely dies out. We say yes until pain. And the moment we start feeling the pain, we jump up off the cross. Or we jump up off the, they used to say the potter's wheel. We get up off the wheel. The moment that we feel pressure, we get up off the wheel. You talked about me? Oh, you ain't about to sit up here and talk about me. Your name, my name should not be in your mouth. I don't know who you thought you were. I'm grown just like you are. And then here comes flesh, 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 flesh. But then at the same moment, we want to sit here and sing hallelujah and prophesy and shout and speak in tongues all over people. But you're ready to fight in the parking lot. That's not a disciple. Oh, but prophet, you ain't perfect. I don't know. You sitting up here trying to tell everybody else about their life, but you ain't perfect. I never said I wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But at the same time, I seek to keep this flesh under. Paul said, I die daily. And you know how bad Paul was. Half of the New Testament was written by his hand. And yet he's saying to us that I die daily, and we can't even die for 5 minutes. The minute that somebody says something to you on the job and they have a slight attitude, you already at their desk talking about, I don't appreciate what you said to me. I don't think you need to be talking to me like that. I don't know. And the minute somebody walks past you in church on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you have the doors open, Sister so-and-so, we need to speak. You just walk past me today and didn't say nothing. Is there something wrong? Do we need to talk? Have you ever thought, man or woman of God, that just maybe there may be something else on their mind? Maybe they just came from a situation, and they're getting to the house of God to try to get before God so they can get it right, or that they can get their spirit right so they can ask him for his wisdom, his hand, his guidance, and you sitting up here worried about because they didn't speak to you today? Instead of that, that's the difference, because when you have a disciple, one that's mature and one that's immature, one that's immature is worried about who didn't speak to them today. One that's mature realizes that sometimes people have something on their mind, or you're clued into the realm of the spirit where the Holy Ghost can tell you need to intercede for him or you need to intercede for her. There's something going on. Instead of you trying to get your speech together on what I'm going to say because they didn't shake my hand today, you're somewhere calling on the name of the Lord, standing in the gap on their behalf. We got to grow up because, let me tell you, the enemy's not playing. Life, let's not even talk about the enemy. Life is not playing with nobody up in here. Life itself. And we don't have time to be worried about this frivolous stuff. We don't have time to be worried about this petty any stuff. Instead, we need to get with Jesus. We need to mature up. We need to realize and start getting into a place that we become like Christ, a disciple, a follower of Christ, disciplined to Christ. And once we become disciplined to Christ in all areas, then this frivolous stuff won't mean nothing to you. Because the pastor didn't call your name today, you don't want to show up to church for 2 weeks. because someone didn't hug you today or wave at you today or look as though they rolled their eyes at you when they weren't even thinking about you at all, then you won't come to, I don't want to go to that church. I don't feel no love. There's no love at that church. Ain't no love at that church. But we won't talk about everything you've done before you got to the church. The cost of discipleship, y'all. Listen. Let's go to Luke 9 and 57. Let's go there for a moment. Book of Luke 9 and 57. He says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, this is so interesting because on the first one in the passage of Scripture, someone spoke to him. But in verse 59, he turned and spoke to someone else. And a lot of times, God is speaking to you and me on a daily basis. We just choose to ignore. He said, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, he gave them a command, people of God. He gave whoever that person was a command. The first one, now this is what's amazing to me, is that one came to Christ and said, I will follow you. But he answered him, in so many words, he said, listen, you won't be able to rest. You won't be able to have comfort. What you thought that this was going to be about is not the reality of what it really is. I'm saying that to say this because some people look at the gospel or some people look at this lifestyle as just that, a glamorous lifestyle. We got it all tricked out. We got it all mixed up because we've been watching too much TV and too much reality TV, thinking that every minister of the gospel is living like a mega millionaire. Not so. He said, in this one, it's not going to be a comfort. You're not going to be able to be all with the bling bling and the bang bang and the pow pow. It's not going to be all of that. So I need you to get a full understanding of what you're walking into. But yet, after he answered him, he turned to another and said, follow me. And it rings in my spirit tonight because God is speaking to someone and saying, listen, I need you to follow me. You've been saved. You know what to do. I placed my hand upon your life. You know my voice when I'm speaking, but yet you're still wavering. Yet you're still trying to work out your own soul pathway. Yet you're still trying to make your own life. He said, no. I need you to get up off of your dreams, get up off of your vision, get up off of even someone else's vision, and I need you to follow me. Now, what is my purpose? Your purpose? He said, I'm going to give it to you right here. He said, let the dead bury their own dead. Quit with the excuses. Cut the ties with all this mess that's going on, whatever it is that's holding you down, holding you back, keeping you nailed to the wall, whatever that is that's backing you up in the corner. He's saying, let the dead bury their own dead. You've been trying to preach Jesus to these people, and they've been laughing and scorning you and laughing in your face and talking about you. He's saying, let it go. It's over. What I need you to do is go and preach the kingdom of God. He didn't say try to start another mega ministry. He didn't try to say start another multi-million and get your name out there and market yourself. All I need you to do is just preach the kingdom. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. And here's all the excuses now because we're definitely a people of excuses. He said, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. Now, here's a powerful thing. In 1 Kings 19 and 20, it says here, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah with a J and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again. For what have I done to you. Well, let me get the approval. Let me get approval from my family before I go, because I've been in this church. My grandmother built this church from the ground up. My great-grandfather built this church from the ground. Auntie and them have been the pillars for the last 30, 45 years. And that may be good and well, but if God is trying to do a new thing in your life, do a new thing in the lives of others that he needs you to that he needs to send you to, you don't have time to start getting people's approval. Because what people will do, they will talk you out of the very thing that God has already told you to do. They'll convince you that it was all made up in your mind, that God never said anything like that. And they'll even pull out some scriptures. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. They'll even find scriptures for you, baby, to find to pigeonhole you, to keep you tied and bound to them. But tonight he's saying, listen, I need you to preach the kingdom of God. Don't preach your kingdom. Don't preach their kingdom. Just preach the kingdom of God. I don't know what to say, prophetess. I didn't say that. All you need to do is open up that Bible, whatever he's already put in your belly. You already know his voice. He speaks to you. You got dreams. You got visions. You have books full of words that God has spoken to you. He allows the word of his very word to jump up off the page at you when you're reading it. When you're talking, when you're praying, the word just seems to flow out of you. Don't tell me you don't know what the kingdom is. The kingdom is his word. The kingdom is love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is ministering to the lost at all costs and pulling them out of the gate and the pit of hell into his marvelous light, which is the kingdom. Let them bury the dead. He said, and to another, Lord, I will follow you. Verse 61. But first let me go and bid them farewell who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We make too many excuses to stay in the place, in the places that we are comfortable in. And some of us are literally dying spiritually because we refuse to move. Some of you are in a place of frustration because you refuse to move. You think it's the enemy. It has nothing to do with the enemy. It has everything to do with your obedience. Each person he dealt with in these passages of scriptures, he was speaking obedience. He was telling them what their existence was going to be. He was telling them what their purpose was going to be. And they came up with excuse after excuse. And Jesus knocked it out the way. But he said in the very end, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. And we're not always talking about going back in sin. We're talking about refusing to move forward, taking two steps forward, but then somebody got to convince you to move just a little bit more because now you're down at a dumpster, depressed and don't know what to do because it's just beginning to get a little bit challenging. And then you get back on the path again and say, okay, God, I need it this time. I'm going forward. I'm moving in you. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, you're back down at the dumpster again because somebody has to pump you up and tell you that it's okay, that this is what is the purpose of what's happening and God still loves you and he's still got his hand upon your life. And so, okay, God, I'm going to do it again. Yes, yes to your will, yes to your way, moving forward. But it comes a point in time where you have to sever the past, sever the friendships, sever the relationships, sometimes severing family to preach the kingdom, to pursue the kingdom. Again, I know this is not popular. I know it's not, because when we start talking about the cost of discipleship or the demands of discipleship or disciplining ourselves to Christ, Kirk comes very uncomfortable, because when we really take the mirror of the word and begin to hold it up to our life, we really see that many of us are lacking. We see areas where there is some very serious lacking in. But yet we try to hold everyone else accountable. We try to hold everybody else's feet to the fire of what they need to do. But you and I, we have not came up to what God has even said the first time, but yet we keep looking for this new word, looking for this new word, looking for this new word. So we're going after prophecy. We're going from conference to conference. We're going from organization to organization. And he's still saying this. Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom. What is the word? I'm looking for a word. Your word? Preach the kingdom. And quit going back. When it gets hard, press on anyway. When it gets hard, all you got to do, excuse me, all we have to do is get a full yes down in our spirit. Get a yes down in our belly. Get a yes down in our heart. And for some, it's going to take one yes and they're gone. And for some of us, it's going to take many yeses. But don't stop. You got to say yes every day. The Bible says that you will be hated because of me. Jesus said you will be hated because of me. So why is it that when we get over into, or let me back up just a second. Before we were saved, we didn't care who liked us. It was like they just got to deal with it how we are and how I am, and this is what I'm going to do. And then we come over into Christendom, and all of a sudden we want to be liked, and we don't understand why can't nobody care for us and like us and show us love. And all of a sudden we worried about what so-and-so said and what so-and-so think. But when you were in the Word, you could care less what they thought. But then we come over to the Lord's side. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Having loved this present world, for Demas, D-E-M-A-S, has forsaken me. This is Timothy when he was talking. He said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia. In other words, don't get so caught up. We can't get caught up. We have to refuse to get caught up in what this world is offering. We think the five-star hotel means I've arrived in God. How successful I am means how anointed I am. But the devil is a lie. There are many men and women of God that I know that are not living at millionaire status and are just as anointed, that when they open up their mouth and when they pray, by the time they say amen, it's already manifesting right before you. That's how much that God knows their name. Yeah, I used to get wrapped up in it too. I used to want all the notoriety and all that too, because that's what the enemy told me, that's what success was. And it didn't help when I looked, turned on the TV every time I saw somebody with the bling and all this, that I felt that that's what success was. And people of God, I'm not against people who have that. I'm not. Not at all. But because I know just as many people who have that and have just as much anointing, true anointing and power. They're not trying to sell you the gimmicks. They're not trying to sell you the tricks. All they're doing is preaching Jesus and him crucified and raised from the dead. And the same God that I serve, you can serve too. And no longer do you have to be bound, but you can be set free. And you can walk in the fullness of him and realize that the enemy is under your feet and you have power and authority. No man, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. So once you pursue him, So what are you saying, prophetess, in all of this? I'm saying count up the cost. You say you want him. You say you're willing to go all the way with him. We sing the song. We dance the dance. We shout the shout. We speak it, you know, whenever we're praying, I decree and declare we're doing all of that. But really understand what it is that you're saying. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. Understanding what God is actually holding you accountable to. It's not about the shout. It's not about the money. It's not about the big churches. It's about you being obedient to his will and his way and doing what he truly called you to do, preach the kingdom of God. And it's also about you ministering to those who are lost. For the world is waiting. The world is waiting. The sun, the earth is moaning and groaning, and they're waiting for the sons and daughters of God to manifest themselves. So my prayer tonight for you and just for the body is that God will begin to pull off the scales, pull off the blinders off of his people's eyes so that they really can begin to see their purpose in him, that they will not only see it, but they will get clarity, understanding, which is one of the same, to be efficient and effective in the kingdom, and to manifest with signs, wonders, and miracles. Because we got enough word, but we're not seeing the power. We need to see the power of God once again. And God wants to use you, and he wants to use me for his kingdom purpose. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for all of those, amen, who are here with me under the sound of my voice. God, help each and every one of us right now to recognize, first of all, help us to say yes to your will and your way, God. Let us not give up. No matter what the challenge comes, help us to trust in you with our lives and with our work. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us to not put our hand to the plow and look back so that we would no longer be fit for the kingdom of God. Help us to push forward, God, in the kingdom, and help us to preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode in me. Forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. I will serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise that prayer. Welcome, man and woman of God, into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King with this ministry pray that you will be led by the Spirit to a Bible-believing and teaching church that will train you, equip you, make you effective, grow you up in the kingdom of God, grow you up in his will and his purpose for your life. Amen. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Also, I would like for you to hit me up on my Facebook, and you can find me either under Crystal McQueen or find me under Women of Prophetic Destiny. I would love to hear from you. Let me know how our broadcast is blessing your life. I will join, please, join me again next Thursday, amen, and I will see you again at 7 p.m. for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed, people of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good night.